from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning to you. I'm John Sepulveda. We begin at the border, as we have all week. Our team of four reporters has been fanning out across the state. And last night, KQED's Julie Small, Polly Stryker, and Alex Hall covered a huge section of border to witness the stories of people trying to cross illegally. We'll be bringing you those stories in the coming days. Meanwhile, yesterday, I was in East County, San Diego. I was at a foster care facility where separated children reside. And outside, family after family like this one would come up to the gate and dial a number to talk to someone inside.
You have an appointment for fingerprinting?
And you're getting the fingerprinting so that you can get someone?
Yeah, but in another place. He's in another place.
Where?
Houston, Texas.
He's in Houston? And you have to come fingerprint here?
Yeah.
The girl you hear speaking looks about 11. That's a guess. The older woman who is with her spoke no English, and the 11-year-old was leading the adult through this process. I spoke to them after they left, and the young woman said she did not want to be recorded because foster care staff told her it could get her brother in Houston in trouble. This was not an isolated incident. Several families would come to the call box with English-speaking children helping lead the families through the system. Listen to this recording of my colleague Polly Stryker talking to a young boy who is with his two uncles.
Is this your uncle or?
Yeah, you're my uncle.
What's your name?
Ricky.
Ricky, how old are you?
Eight.
And why are you guys here this morning?
Because we're going to get stamps for her kid.
When you say stamps, do you mean fingerprinted?
Yeah, fingerprinted.
Why are you getting fingerprints?
Because she's gonna come out in like a couple months, or I don't know, weeks, I think. So we're getting finger stumps.
Now, for the record, there are translators at this facility in El Cajon, as well as other facilities throughout the state. But the problem is the kids are very quick to talk, as you can hear. And they tell information that could lead to arrests for the family. These English-speaking children are helping their relatives through complicated background checks. Background checks that will be shared with Immigration and Customs Enforcement. That is a new policy under the Trump administration, according to Texas immigration attorney Melissa Lopez.
So if you have an undocumented sponsor, ICE will now have information about who they are, where they live, because that's all part of the process that they have to provide in order to have the child released to their custody.
Lopez spoke to us at a rally in Texas earlier this month. And taking a step back and looking at what we have learned at the border this past month, we started wondering if somehow this process is leading ICE to other family members. Well, late yesterday, we got confirmation that it is. Tomorrow, Ben Perper with our partners at KVCR is going to tell us about the businesses operating these facilities. And I'm going to tell you how the information they collect has led to new detentions. That's tomorrow on the California Report. Let's turn our focus now to the homeless crisis. In Los Angeles, city officials want to set up temporary shelters all over the city, with the first going in Koreatown. But residents of that neighborhood are pushing back as new fights are picking old wounds. Here's KCRW's Avishai Artsy.
Koreatown residents have been protesting weekly since officials announced last month they plan to put an emergency shelter in a city-owned parking lot in the neighborhood's business district. It's part of a $20 million program to place these types of shelters across the city. At a recent protest, Karen Lee said she and many other residents feel blindsided by the city's decision.
Maybe people think we are selfish. We against the homeless shelter. We are not selfish. We just asking they have to respect us, okay? We work hard. We pay taxes. And they are not hearing us.
Lee's neighbors want a public hearing to discuss the shelter, but their distrust of City Hall has deeper roots, according to Angela Ju.
Koreatown has a history of being disenfranchised and has a history of marginalization because they think that Koreatown residents don't vote and they don't complain.
Looters have had their way in wide areas of this city.
In the 1992 Los Angeles riots, looters raided and torched Korean-owned businesses. Store owners realized the police were nowhere to be found.
We are on Olympic Boulevard in Koreatown at the Olympic Discount Store. There are 28 men, armed men, everyone with guns, on duty 24 hours a day, they tell me, protecting this store.
Korean store owners fought back, but hundreds of their businesses were destroyed. Alexandra Su heads the Korean Immigrant Workers Alliance.
In 1992, a lot of the business owners felt that the city prioritized wealthy and white neighborhoods and ignored the neighborhoods where people of color were living or doing business.
The unrest shocked this hardworking immigrant community. Jun Bong, head of the Korean American Coalition of Los Angeles, says the lack of a public hearing over the proposed homeless shelter has brought that anxiety back to the surface.
I don't think the riots define who we are as a community, but you know, it's kind of like forgive but don't forget kind of deal.
Koreatown activists have sued the city over the proposed homeless shelter and vow to continue protesting until their voices are heard. A few counter-protesters have shown up, including Johnny Lee. He wants a homeless shelter, but he wants a public hearing first.
We've never had so many homeless encampments in Koreatown that I've known. I've never seen so many before, and I'd love to see something be done about that.
The city council is expected to vote Friday on the emergency shelter. No public hearings have been scheduled. For the California Report, I'm Avishai Artsy in Koreatown.
Support for the California Report comes from the James Irvine Foundation, expanding economic and political opportunity for Californians who are working but struggling with poverty. More at irvine.org. CCRM. Using today's technology and care, CCRM physicians help people achieve fertility goals and build families. Now open in Menlo Park. Learn more at ccrmivf.com/San Francisco. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems.
So as we end today's show, know that tomorrow we're going to be broadcasting from Yuma, Arizona. Stories from the border tomorrow on the California Report. As for today, I'm John Sepulveda. Have a great day.